Welcome into the program. My name is Chris Ryan. This is Growing on the Vine, an audio broadcast ministry of 102.5 The Vine FM, a Christian radio station in Southern California. We're having discussions with micro-ministry leaders in Southwest Riverside County, and we get a chance to learn what they are doing and how you can get involved. This episode is fun. We're talking with a Christian comedian named Nazareth, who has toured all over the world and uses comedy for evangelism, bringing people to Jesus through the power of humor. Here, take a listen.
But my name is Nazareth. I was born in the city of Nazareth in Israel. And it's a family tradition to name you after the city you're born in. I feel sorry for my brother Waikiki, my other brother Albuquerque, and my sister Buffalo. Location, location, location. Like when you guys name your kids, you look at the baby name book, we can look at Google Maps.
My goal, Chris, is when I do any event, even at a club or a companies, I don't do much anymore, but I stick to the rules. But is my goal at the end of the show is to lead people to Christ or to make them think about Jesus. So I avoid anything that would divide people. So I don't talk politics. I don't do anything that's like, I don't put down vegetarians or stuff. I mean, I joke about him, but I don't want anybody to feel, oh, I can't relate to him. Oh, he's for this against what I believe. Until I get to the gospel.
Right.
And then I give him the gospel.
And you get to tell the message there.
Yeah.
If during your set, if you turn somebody away.
I lost him.
You lost him.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose that most important set of words that you wanted to get across if you've lost them already.
Right, exactly. Which is difficult for a comedian because comedians, you want to push the envelope. You want to share, you look at life from a different perspective. But sometimes I have to hold myself. I remind myself my commitment of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Nazareth is our guest, and he has been a professional comedian. You are saying since the 90s, mid-90s?
1990 is when I started doing stand-up comedy. My first time on stage was in 1990, early 1990.
So something must have led up to that. There must have been something that you were doing that was super cool and exciting before you got into comedy, and then you get into comedy and say, okay, you know what? I can do this too.
It was exciting. I was doing accounting, tax accounting. But you know what happened is, I don't know why. I was not a believer in Christ yet. I came from a Greek Orthodox Christian background. But I decided to run a marathon, Chris. I don't know why, but I said, I'll just run 2 miles this year, 2 miles next year, 2 miles, maybe 3 miles after. And in 20-some years, I can finish 26.2 miles. Well, so I went, and started, I ran a few miles. I can do it. And the day of the race, well, the night before, I was doing, the carbo load where you go to L.A. And I got to meet Muhammad Ali, the boxer. And he grabbed my arm, my hand, and shook it. And he said, are you going to finish this? I said, yes, sir. So the next day, I'm like, oh, I gotta finish this. So I started running, and I smoked my last cigarette. That sounds like a country song. But I finished, I ran 5 miles. My lungs, like, we didn't sign up for this. We're done. I kept running. People encourage you. Got to the 10 mile. They go, oh, it's downhill from here. It's Los Angeles Marathon. Let's go. And I got to the 22 miles, and this homeless lady, she goes, oh, honey, you can't stop now. You've already almost there. And I did. I finished it. And I sat there, and I'm like, I can't believe I can do that. I never thought my body can do this. And I go, what else can I do in life that if I don't ever get paid for it, I will still give it my best ability? And it was making people laugh. I loved it when people laughed, not me being funny, but them laughing. So the next day I signed up at a comedy club in Encino, California, called the LA Cabaret. I signed up at 7 p.m. It was full crowd, great show. By the time I went on stage as an open mic nighter, it was midnight, 9 drunks on the show. 2 fell off their chairs laughing. I knew it. That was my calling. So I started doing comedy from that point on.
till today.
Nazareth is our guest, and that's a big change from accounting to yes. doing comedy.
Yeah, it was. And I was praying. Well, I wasn't praying in the beginning, but what happened is my career started growing fast. I got a manager. NBC was looking at me to do a sitcom called Fish Out of Water. I was doing Vegas. I just grew up so fast. And everybody was looking at, oh, this is the next big guy. This is the next sitcom, the next guy. And somehow someone, a friend of mine, a comedian, invited me to church. And I was like, okay. He goes, would you come to church with me? I go, yeah, why not? He goes, oh, I said, listen, I'm from the Holy Land. We gave you Jesus. You know, what did the Italian give you? Pizza. The French gave you a Statue of Liberty. The Chinese gave you Walmart. We gave you pizza. You know, we gave you Jesus. I said, so I went to church, but deep inside, I'm like, wait a minute. God knows my heart. I knew there was a God. I knew he knows our hearts. But I knew I was completely going the other way. You know, my lustful thoughts, my greedy thoughts, my selfish thoughts. But I said, you know what? If I go to church, maybe God will eventually in 200 visits will forgive me. And I went and I sat in the back and then I don't know what he was talking about, but I remember the words like, come as you are, Jesus will start the work in you. And I went forward, gave my life to Christ, and that was it. I called my management. I said, I'm quitting, back to taxes, payroll taxes. But my pastor, he says, Nazareth, why can't you do a show for church? I go, church, 1992, Southern Baptist? No, thank you. He goes, God created humor, but Satan perverted it. Why don't you do it for him? And we decided to do a show in Tustin, California, where the church was, small church. 400 people showed up uninvited. Great show. A deacon who's with the Lord right now, he said, Lord, use this man. Use his comedy for your glory. Bring people to you to encourage the believers. And that's exactly what I've been doing since that moment. And I was working and I'm like praying. I just got married at that point. And I go, okay, Lord, I want to be full-time. I want to get back to full-time in the church. You know, easy to be full-time in L.A. or in Hollywood or in the mainstream because there's clubs and stuff. But churches, there was no churches back then that did comedy. I mean, I used to call pastors, they go, you're from the devil. How could you do comedy in church? I'm like, okay. So that's where I decided, you know what? I said, Lord, if it's your will that I be full-time, let it be. Well, a few weeks later, right after I got married, I got my controller at the corporation. I used to work for a big restaurant company. They used to own Coco's, Carousel, Torito's, and all these restaurants. And he goes, Nazareth, I don't know why. You're the employee of the month. You're the best one here. But we need to let you go. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, the budget cuts and all that. And we're going to give you a severance pay for 6 months. I go, what is severance pay? He goes, that means we're going to pay your salary for 6 months. I go, and I don't have to show up? They go, no. I go, are you serious? He goes, yeah. I go, wow, this is an answer to prayer. And the guy probably still thinks I was being, you know, sarcastic, but I was not. So I went back to my bride, who just came in. I said, hey, listen, I lost my job, but they're going to pay me for 6 months. And I can, with my credentials, I can get a job tomorrow in tax accounting. She goes, no, honey, go do what God called you to do. We're going to starve for 10 years, but it'll be fine. That's how I told her. I told her, we're going to starve for 10 years. She goes, I would rather have a starving comedian who's happy than a rich, you know, accountant who's not. So I went for it. And that 6 months was like every day. And from there, I just picked up. And praise God, I'm glad I did.
Nazareth is our guest. You have done shows in so many different areas. But the reason that we're talking is, of course, this show follows the radio station at 102.5 The Vine FM in Southern California. And we're really looking at these ministries in Southwest Riverside County and in Southern California. And even though you've done content that we've seen on a national stage, really the Inland Empire is your home. This is where you live, right?
Yes, I do. I live in Corona, California. People, you know, Corona, we used to be known for beer, then COVID, And then I think after the Summer Olympics, last Summer Olympics, the guy from the discus throw guy, that was my Amazon delivery guy. But no, so Corona, it's a nice city. I've lived in Corona since 2003. We're migrants from Orange County. And in 2013, when God put it on my heart to start a nonprofit ministry to do free events, so because I know a lot of people who wants to needs to laugh, that needs the encouragement of Christ, cannot afford to come to a show, or they cannot afford to pay for a Christian concert. You know, I've done Christian festivals, they can't afford to go to it. So God put it on my heart to start events for Christians. And the first event I prayed about, and I said, I want to go to a poor city in the area. And San Bernardino, California at that time was going through a lot of hard times. So I found the stadium, the 66ers stadium. I prayed about it, and God showed me favor with them. They gave it to me for like, I think, $6,000 instead of paying what normally is. And I was able to invite 5,000 people for free, give them 1,000 bags of food, 1,000 toys. Well, of course, not me, but my team and people who just heard about what we're doing. And people started, you know, giving money towards that ministry, because they go, what better way to reach people for Jesus through comedy? Because comedy, everybody loves to laugh. And they might come to church, they might not. They might like country music, or they might like rap. But everybody likes comedy, and that's how we started in this area.
Marriage is beautiful, and you know, the other day we had to go on to a wedding, and I said, "Honey, it takes you a little longer to get ready. Why don't you jump in the shower and get ready, and then I will do that." And she did. She came out, put her robe in. I jumped in the shower, got ready, put my clothes on, and then came into the bedroom. And I saw something that really broke my heart. I look at my wife. She was in her robe, looking at an open closet, with that look of an African child who haven't eaten in 20 days. And I saw the depravity on her face. And I saw the hopelessness of me as a husband who couldn't help her. And she looked, she goes, "I have nothing to wear." Ladies and gentlemen, no wife has to go through that. No, a wife has to be a wife to take care of her husband and her kids. She shouldn't be worrying what to wear tomorrow. So for $29.99 a month, less than a dollar a day, you can help my wife be happier and have something to wear. I promise you, all your money will go towards her wardrobe. And every month you'll receive a letter with a photo of her in a new outfit. And you can feel great that you were able to close some money and change their life and make them happy again. Thank you. I'll see you at the table after the show.
Nazareth is our guest. So comedy shows are certainly now it's something that you do on full time. This is what you do. This is your job. And the I guess the circuit, if you will, there are comedians that have found that Christians do like to laugh. Christians do need to laugh. And there is a, if we use the word market, but there is a need for evangelism, and can certainly be done through comedy. And you've found that to be a very useful source.
Right. When I started, we started connecting. We were lone rangers as Christian comics doing. There's few people that came into the market. They actually. Because they were in the clubs, and the reason they came to the comic, because it's a market. I mean, their motive was just, oh, I can make money in this. And I always tell pastors, be very careful when someone said, I'm a clean comedian, or I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a clean comedian. There's a difference between being a clean comedian and doing churches. Because a clean comedian can say, I was sleeping with my, you know, I was living with my girlfriend, and we're smoking, you know, some weed. That's clean in the club scene. That's clean in anything. It's not Christian clean. It's not church clean. So I always tell So we started something, me and Shonda Pierce and several other comedians started an organization called Christian Comedy Association, which is still to this day, they meet every year. And we have about 300 members. And I was their president and for a while, and I was their mentoring director. And I always encouraged comedians. I said, you know what, you can do this, you know, pray about it. Look, you know, when you do a church, you gotta honor God with that material. You can't just try, I'm going to try this and push the button. You can't push the envelopes in churches. But, you know, they called me the Billy Graham of comedy because I've always wanted, there's something, I told my son the other day, we were walking down the beach. I said, son, he goes, Dad, why do you always have to tell people about Jesus? I'll be on the plane telling people about Jesus. He goes, why do you have to? I said, you think I can help it? I'm an insecure person who wants everybody's approval. Why do you think I share Jesus? Because I'm called to do this. So when I'm on stage, regardless of where I'm at, in a comedy club or anywhere, I just my desire is to share Jesus at the end. So I want him to laugh hard, like me, to the point to where they will listen and then let the Holy Spirit bring the message to them.
Nazareth is our guest today on Growing on the Vine. We're talking about an industry that isn't known for being clean. We're told in the Bible that we are going to have hardships. You're in this industry in comedy that very well can butt up right against hardships. What do you find in the industry, being that you are a Christian comic, what doors has that closed and what doors has that opened?
A lot of doors close. A lot of doors close once they find out I'm a Christian, or they go to my website and find out, oh, he's a Christian, or he shares Jesus or something. They don't know that you can do a full event clean without, you know, preaching. Because, you know, when the people hire you to do something, you got to follow their rules. Now, when they don't, like at a club, which I don't do much anymore, because the doors that open, God allowed me now to, I'm at a point where I choose where I want to go. I don't have to do an event where I go, well, you can be sharing about Jesus. You can do this. I go, well, you know what? My fee is $20,000 if you don't want me to share about Jesus. Because that's where the other people that I work with, they're at that level right now. Chris Rock and himself, I mean, they charge more than the film. But the other people that I started with, they're at that level. So if you just want a comedian, this is my fee. Now, you want me to share Jesus, it might be free for you. But if it's a church, you know, so praise God. You know, right now I built, you know, I have a clientele of churches, large churches or Christian ministries that hire me every year or every other year. So I don't have to compromise, you know, or have to worry about it. But yeah, a lot of doors close, but I don't care. God opens, he's the one who opens the right doors for me.
Nazareth is our guest today on Growing on the Vine. There was a moment when the family and I, we went out to Hemet. You were playing at Hope in the Valley, Pastor Dale. Yeah, this is it's a comedy show, but it didn't end that way. It ended with a gospel message from the stage. That is a really important part of your set.
Of course, because, you know, I can make you laugh, and you can laugh for 2 hours. And you can go home, or while you're driving home, you get a text that will take that fun away. They take that laughter, forget about it. You might get a letter in the mail that make you miserable. But I know the source of joy who can that night you can get the source of joy, which is Christ, then it doesn't matter. You're going to have that joy regardless. So what do I want to leave you with? Do I want to leave you with just laughter? Or do I want to leave you with the source of joy that maybe will change your entire destiny? I mean, I just got this, and I haven't planned it, but I was just I finished my tour. I was in Canada, and I was at Calgary Life Church in Canada. So I did the concert that night, and then the next morning, normally I do the weekend, so I do the morning services. I'm ordained, by the way, so this for that purpose that I can share the gospel and do his church. So Pastor Anthony sent me this the next day, and it just gives people an idea of what we do. And let's see. Okay, so people say they come to this show, they're just wanting to laugh. And then this pastor, he said, Nazareth, I just want to let you know, yes, in the second service when you were talking, and there was this 16-year-old boy that was covering himself, and then he was crying, and then he later accepted Christ. And he said, we were talking to him, and we found out that last week he attempted suicide. And he goes, praise God for what you do. This kid came because there's a comedian. And his destiny was changed because of Christ. And, I mean, you can't pay me. You can't put money on that thing. So this is the thing that keeps me going. This, you know, once in a while I get a pastor or a couple or a lady that says, I've had cancer for 5 years. I've been in pain for 5 years. The last 2 hours, I forgot about my pain. This is our paycheck. That's a big paycheck that we get. That I don't want to leave them with just laugh. I want to leave them looking to Christ.
Nazareth is our guest. I think it might be fair to say that this is a gift that you were given. We're talking about your change from accounting into comedy. But there's so many people in our world that might have and that do have a gift that God has given them that is there to be able to share the gospel with somebody. It might be accounting. That might be your gift. What would you say to somebody who says, man, I really don't know how it is that God wants to use me. There's something, but I don't know what it is.
What are you good at? That's what I tell them. What are you good at? What do you like to do that you don't mind if you don't get paid for it? You'll still love to do it. Some people like fixing cars. Well, go fix some single mom's car that she doesn't have time or she can't afford it. You know, some of you like to handiwork, well, go help a family that can't afford to get a contractor or someone. Go help them. And you don't have to turn. See, some people think, okay, God gave me this gift and I want to do this for the Lord. You don't have to do it full time. You can start, you know, just slowly doing, you know, one place, another event, another one person. And then slowly God will open the door for you as you're being faithful to what you've been trusted with, which is that gift and that talent. But you know what? Find out what you love doing. You know, you love baking, you love cooking, you love whatever. You love to encourage kids. Go for it. Right now what I do is I used to teach a men's Bible study in my house. I decided, you know what? Satan's attacking our junior hires. That's the age where he's really attacking the young ones. I said, you know what? I love playing Fortnite. I love games. I love video games. I said, I'm going to start volunteering at our church's junior high. And we have about 200 kids, so every Wednesday I go there. And guess what? We talk about Fortnite. We have games. We talk about, you know, different players. And these kids just, you know, they're like magnets. They just come to me. Oh, how many kills did you have in this? And how many did... I go, okay, some people go, well, we don't like our kids to play video games. Some don't, so we play other things. We play, you know, like basketball or whatever it is. But you just can find something you can connect with people, and that's your gifting, and God will use it.
Nazareth is our guest. You brought a couple of books with you, and one of them is targeted at a younger generation. My kids, I've got 12 and 14, and Fortnite, yep, I know about it. Do I know how to play it? No. But that's interesting to dive into Fortnite. And you'd mentioned junior high. That's a really hard area.
Oh, it's very hard. And I always joke about I have an Adderall spray bottle. Just whenever they get too excited, I just spray them with. But no, it says, and that's one of the books that I wrote. It's called You're So Funny, Daddy, Learning How to Communicate with Children Using Humor. And it's written for parents or grandparents. Mostly dads or grandfathers. And what it does is I wanted to help fathers find a way to communicate with their kids other than, don't do this, don't do that. No, we don't do this. This is what we do. You're stupid. You're this, you're that. So this is our home. You know, my kids grew up with laugh. We laugh a lot. We joke a lot. And it's really helpful because in between the jokes, they open up and we can talk. Like sometimes when I'm playing with my daughter, Fortnite, you know, I'm not good at it. I mean, I'm not good. I mean, you have, and they go, Dad, you're horrible. But then again, you know, you're not 14, 15, so it's fine. But we laugh, and while we're playing, we talk. So, how was your day today? And it was, and now they're open up. Why? It's another friend talking to them. It's not, you know, oh, hey, what are you doing? So that's a, so the book, I interviewed 50 fathers, and I said, what do you do to make your kids laugh? And they gave me their ideas. And also, because if you say, oh, we're a Christian home, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and then you come home and you're mad at your work and you're nervous about your finances, and you just come into home and you're screaming at your spouse and you're talking about how you guys don't have any money left to do this, what is the kid thinking? Oh, you mean the Lord is the Lord of our house? Really? So you always have to make sure. So I always tell parents, right before you step out of the car into your house or you open the garage door to get into the house, pray and say, Lord, I'm done. What's done? My kids don't have to deal with the adult issues that I'm going through. I'm just going to... And you don't have to be funny all the time. It just... Like once in a while, like, okay, who is the funniest joke, you know? Who has a funny joke right now? And they look for it because they want the attention. And they come, okay, I have one. And they share it and you laugh. That's it. The whole mood in the house has changed now.
Because of one joke and it'll change.
One joke or one video. Did you watch something funny on YouTube maybe or something? And my kids were like, hey, watch this. And it's funny, we're laughing. Oh, boom. Now communication is open again.
Nazareth is our guest on Growing on the Vine. It's interesting you mentioned Fortnite and dad's playing. So I'll sit down and I'll grab a controller. But you know what my daughter wants to do? She needs about 25 minutes to be able to, her character to put on the right color coat and the boots, right? And then the hairstyle. It's like, are we going to play? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But hold on. I've got to look, I'm your dad here and I played Duck Hunt. There was a dog and a duck. And we didn't change clothes. Yeah. We just let's go. Let's play.
You know, my daughter does the same thing, and then when I play, I'm done in 1 minute because I get killed. And she gets to play for like 30 minutes to get the Royale and all that. And like that's not fair. She goes, yeah, it is. You played once. I play once. But it's we're connecting. We're fighting as two people at the same level now. So when I'm in authority, when I'm really serious about an issue, I'm talking like a dad. She listens. Oh, now he's dad now. He's really, I have to listen to him.
It's a connection opportunity.
It's a connection opportunity. Find out what your kids like, what kind, maybe sports or something, and invest time in doing that. You're never too old for that. Oh, we don't do it. You know, just get in the mud with them and play with them, and they'll love you for it. They don't forget it. They will remember that and will do the same thing. One lady told me, you know, she read the book. She goes, Nazareth, when I was 16, I was always, I didn't want to get up to go to school. And it was just, I just liked to sleep in. And my dad would come in and we'd start jumping on the bed and singing to wake me up. I hated it. I was miserable throughout these years. She goes, guess how I wake my daughter up? I go, how? She goes, I jump on the bed and start singing to her. So you're leaving a legacy by just being silly and funny with your kid.
Nazareth is our guest on Growing on the Vine. You have a second book here, and you were telling me earlier it really has to do with that moment before the moment.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
The book is called Hope in 24 Hours. Your situation can change for the better. Now, this is not a name it and claim it. I'm against name it and claim it at all, but... Sometimes, like, you get up in the morning, in the middle of the night, and you go, oh, the bank is going to call. I don't know what we're going to do. How are we going to do? And you start making scenarios how things going to get worse. Or the doctor told you, you know, I don't like this biopsy. And you go to bed, and you're starting putting all the scenarios. Oh, it's going to be cancer. I'm going to have to go through chemo. I might die or might be left with side effects. We always put scenarios that's going to get worse. But we don't know that there's... Maybe you can add, by reading this book, you can add one scenario that goes, but maybe it's nothing. But maybe God is going to do something with it. And I share one story here with, I remember back in 2007, 2008, the the housing market was gone. Nobody was hiring comedians, no income. I called the bank and it's like, hey, can I pay 90% of the mortgage because I need to live? And they like, no, we can't. And they kept charging me interest and late fees and interest on the late fees and late fees on the interest. It got to a point where I was like waking up in the middle of the night going, the bank's going to call again today and I don't know what to do and I don't want to foreclose. I have no other place to live. And one day a friend of mine called me and he goes, how you doing, Nazareth? I go, I'm doing great. You know, Christian response to Christian friends. I'm doing great. They go, no, really. I go, no, I'm okay. They go, but that's not what God told me. I go, well, what did God tell you? They go, never mind, but I'll tell you what. God asked me to write you a check. It will be in the mail tomorrow, FedEx tomorrow. Don't call me back. It's from Jesus. And I thought, like, oh, $1,500, $2,000. I owed $70,000 to the bank at that point. I'm like, oh, okay. Next day, I opened the FedEx, $100,000 check from a friend I've known forever. And they said, don't call me back. So I paid the bank, so I became up current. I paid my left on my Honda Pilot, and I paid what left on my Visa card. And in 24 hours, less than 24 hours, I was debt free. We never thought about it. I never added a scenario like that. And so many other stories. One day I was single, praying for a wife for 3 years. Like, Lord, I want a beautiful wife with a rich father that knows the whole Bible. And every year, doesn't have to have a rich father. You'll take care of us. Doesn't have to be beautiful, just okay. John 3:16, bring her over. I don't care. If she only knows John 3:16, I'll marry her. And one day, my dad is dying. And he goes, son, can you do me a favor? Can you go to Israel for me? I go, yeah. He goes, I have a home in the Gaza Strip. Go to the Palestine. I go, okay. I didn't want to go to Gaza, but he said, can you do it for me? I said, okay. So I planned to go there, and my cousin was getting married there. He goes, hey, can you be the best man? So I fly in. The first day, my cousin drags me to meet his mother-in-law, future mother-in-law, and his fiance. Her sister comes in. She goes, oh, I have 4 tickets to a concert. That's back in 1995. So they said, hey, can we bring Nazareth with us? So we went to the concert, and after we had dinner, of course, I want to share Jesus with them. So my cousin looks at me, goes, you look happy. What's wrong with you? You're in Gaza. Why are you happy? I go, oh, that's a trigger for an evangelist. I go, Jesus changed my life. He gave me a reason to live. He gave me hope. And he got mad. He goes, don't listen to him. He's a born-again Christian. Well, her sister said me too. And I look at her, and she's gorgeous. I said, would you like to marry me? And she looks at me. She goes, I've been praying for a believer for 3 years to come to this side of the world because every man, Christian man here either left or they're not serious about their faith. And I've been praying for a faithful, someone who really serious about his faith. Let me pray and fast for 3 days. I'll get back to you. 3 days later, she came back. She goes, I'm starving. Let's do it. 27 years.
It was a moment that you hadn't even thought about. There was a problem. There was a situation in front of you. You had all of these scenarios that you thought, okay, it's going to work out this way, this way, this way. But this was one that you hadn't thought about.
Nothing. I was on tour, I think, with the Righteous Brothers. I'm going to go, oh, I'm going to lose the tour. It's going to be bad. It's going to do this. What am I going to do there? I'm going to miss a lot of work time from my shows and all that. But, you know, these are my scenarios. But once he said, I'm starving, let's do it. So one day I was single. 24 hours later, I'm planning a wedding. And God can change your situation in 24 hours. And that's the whole book, Hope in 24 Hours. So I want to encourage the listeners, whatever challenge you're going through right now, add one more scenario. God can come through and change it for the better in less than 24 hours.
Nazareth is our guest on Growing on the Vine. That's an amazing testimony. We're told that worry does us no good. It's almost like we're keeping a problem from God's ability to solve it.
Exactly. We're already telling him this is how it's going to be fixed, so can you help us with that? Instead of letting him handle it. And just the more you have faith in Christ, the more he is so faithful, and the more you remind yourself of his faithfulness, the less you worry about challenges. And the less you are, you know, I'm a full-time comedian, and to this day, we still wait for, you know, churches or stuff to call us and say, and, you know, can you come and do a weekend for us where we laugh on Saturday, invite the community, and Sunday you can teach the services. Or sometimes it's a banquet, Valentine banquet, or a Christmas event or something. So we're always, you know, it's not like we have the next 5 years already secure. No. So it's like you live by faith when you're self-employed, when you're depending on the next phone call, the next email to get your work. And praise God. I mean, I'm doing a lot better than a lot of others because I've been doing it for a long time. But still, you live by faith. You live by faith.
Nazareth is our guest on Growing on the Vine. Let's talk about that for a moment. So you've been doing this for a while. We talked about the evangelistic ministries a little while ago, and I want to get back to those. But you work with churches and organizations all over, not exclusively Southern California.
No, I'm in Germany, Canada, 50 states so far, praise God.
Talk to me about what somebody who might be part of an organization or a church can say, you know what, this might be a good idea. This might be, you know, what if I were to bring a comedian in to... How would that look, either maybe to a church or to an organization? Somebody who's looking at that, you had mentioned that sometimes it's a Saturday and a Sunday. What are some of the scenarios that churches or organizations might put together an event with a comedian such as yourself or others in the Christian comedy field that come to a church for an event?
Yeah, but well, the main thing is comedy. Laughter is the language of today. Comedy, everybody loves comedy. So if a church is trying to reach out to the community and or to reach out, because after COVID, some people did not come back to church. They got lazy. So the church can say, hey, we're having a comedy night. You can't enjoy comedy just watching it on, you know, online. So people come and say, so we tell them, hey, can you ask people to invite an unsaved friend or a neighbor, loved one, who would never come to a Sunday service, would not come to, but will come to a comedy night. And I said, don't say I'm a Christian comedian. I'm a comedian. I'm a Christian, of course. I'm very conservative when it comes to my material. I don't take chances with that. Because I want the pastor to not to have that fear that, oh, someone's going to complain. Praise God. It's maybe God's favor. Haven't had a complaint in 5,000 shows, so praise God for that. But what happened is they invite their friends, they invite their neighbors, they come to the church, they laugh on Saturday. They go, oh, he's coming tomorrow. He's going to be here tomorrow teaching and doing some more comedy. So they come back the next day. Now you got them twice in your church. Maybe they might not come back the next Sunday, but most likely some of them will. But what happened is if they have an issue, a death in the family, or they're having a sickness, they need someone to pray, guess where they're going to go? Oh, this church is cool. They laugh. Now sometimes there's a business that want to, you know, they want their staff to laugh. They go, I want to bring Nazareth because he's clean. I know he's clean. He's not going to offend them. And he's going to encourage them. It lifts people up. It changed the attitude of the company. It changed the attitude of a lot of nonprofits use me to, because laughter opens pockets. So a lot of a crisis pregnancy or other ministries, they have me come and do their gala. So where they, you know, they speak a little bit, they share stories or testimonies. And then I go up to comedy, and then at the end, I gear myself towards the ask and then bring the executive director. And they always say, we raise more money that way because people left laughing instead of feeling, oh, if we don't support us, we're going to close. So there's so many ways they can use it. But I always tell people, be careful. Even if the comedians say, I'm a Christian, watch out. That make sure they, where they walk. Are they active in their church? Are they really believing? Because some people use it for marketing. Like, oh, yeah, I can do it. And that hurts us, too, because once you do a comedy night or a comedy show at your church and it doesn't go well, then, boom, you cancel the program.
One bad evening can just ruin it for the community.
For the community. And one good evening, I remember there's churches I begged, not begged them, but actually convince them to open to do comedy, and now they've been doing it for years and they've had so many other comedians. So you open the door for other people when it's a good show.
Nazareth is our guest on Growing on the Vine. Even going into the 90s, material is a big deal in your industry. there's material that you can use. There's things that you can't use. There's areas that you are okay. There's areas that you want to stay away from when it comes to Christian comedy. Over, what did you say, 5,000 shows? Is that what you mentioned? That maybe you've come up with a formula. Okay, this area of material seems to work. What have you learned about material and faith-based material over the years, over your experiences, that maybe took time to learn?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. What I learned is, like, if my jokes are relatable to people, Christians are people. You know, you go to church, you're Christian, non-Christian, you're people. But if my jokes are relatable to them and carries the same values as them, which I do, they're going to laugh a lot at it because they go, oh, I do that too. Oh, yeah, that's, I can relate to that. I can deal with that. A lot of times Christians are more forgiving as an audience than in the comedy club, but you still have to be funny, and they don't have two drinks in them to laugh faster. So it's not, people say, oh, it's easier to be a Christian comedian because the audience are forgiving and loving. No, it's the same thing because they're not drinking. You're in a place where, you know, in a comedy club, the light is perfectly dark. It's just on you. The sound system is perfect. People came to hear comedy. They're sitting in a closed setting. Churches are not like that. You can be in the big sanctuary and the arena or something. So, but I learned if you can relate, if they can relate to your joke, they will laugh at it. If they feel you have the same values they do, they're more relaxed and they will laugh more at it.
There are those, I'm sure, that you come across that are up and coming in the industry as well. Have you had an opportunity to mentor others in the vein of Christian comedy or comedy in general?
Yes, and that's something I love doing. Actually, one of the people that I mentored just went sour is, her name is Taylor Tomlinson, who came to me when she was 16 with her dad, and I was able to help her. I found, you know, she's very gifted. She's very funny. I started working with her, and I put her on a couple TV, Christian TV show, had her open for me at places with 3,000-4,000 people. And then she had a management, started doing colleges and clubs, and she had 3 Netflix specials. Right now, she's probably the next person on a Tonight Show, the first woman to do a Tonight Show. But she's rejecting Christianity, and she's making fun of her Christian upbringing, which is sad. I talked to her, but she cut the relationship because of, I think, I don't know, guilt. But, yeah, that's one of the people. There's several others that are full-time comedians. There's a guy I'm trying to mentor right now that I think he's up and coming, but he loves the Lord. And I always tell him, don't take risks with people. You know, try it with someone else. Like sometimes when I do a joke, I would ask my kids, I would ask a stranger, like, hey, what do you think? Is this, sometimes I would call a pastor. I said, hey, I'm doing a bit about this. Is this pushing the line? A lot of times I'm more conservative than the pastor. It's like, oh, go ahead and do it. Like, are you sure? And then I pray about it and the Holy Spirit goes, no, don't do that. So I just cut it out. And it's hard because when you write something that's funny, and nowadays with the whole woke culture, we have to choose as a comedian. Well, I don't care. Well, they're wrong. Christianity is wrong, what they believe. So I'm going to joke about that. Well, I go, do I want to do that? Do I want him to stay till the end of the show connected to me so I can share the gospel? Or do I want to offend him and just make the rest of the Christian go, yeah, that's what we love? You have to decide.
Nazareth is our guest, and there are different audiences within the same audience.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned you have kids, and they've grown up with a comedian at home. Looking from their perspective, and I know we talked about kids and fatherhood earlier, it's going to be a little bit of a different upbringing for them. Is there ever a time where that accountant, that tax dad, comes back in and it's not so much humorous dad?
Another great question. You know what? As a comedian, you're not. There's two kinds of comics. It's the ones that we call them clowns. That's always joking. And there's us, we're very serious people. My wife is a lot funnier than me at home. She's hilarious. And My kids, my son already did a dry bar comedy special, even though he doesn't want to be a comedian. He's a film director. My daughter is, they beg her to come back to the comedy store and do comedy because she sells out. And she doesn't want to, she wants to be a lawyer. So they both don't want to be comedians, which is good. I don't want them to go through the same road I've been. But they're very funny. But sometimes, no, when there's issues, I'm as serious as they can be. I'm like, no, this is how it's going to be, and this is what we do, and this is what we believe, and we have to go with that. And there's no joking in that moment. And sometimes my wife goes, you know, be a little easier on them. I'm like, hey, we were just playing Fortnite 5 minutes ago. But sometimes, yeah, when it's a serious issue, I have to stand my, because God, you know, put this family under my responsibility. I'm responsible for them. I can't always just be, we don't just always joke all the time. But when we do, I mean, sometimes we need the cameras on us because we'll be throwing jokes. And there, you got three or four comedians in the house, and each one throwing a joke, and you're topping each other. It's hilarious. We laugh so much. I go, but we can't share that on stage because people won't. You have to be there to laugh.
It's those moments, those family moments that are special. Nazareth is our guest on Growing on the Vine. Tell me how people can get more information about you and your ministry. Where would somebody go to get more information and to learn more?
Yes, there's two places. First, if people want to hire me as a comedian, Nazareth the comedian, that's my job, that's how I make my money, and that's what I do, they can go to NazarethUSA.com, NazarethUSA.com, or on social media, at Comedian Nazareth. Nazareth is just like the city. Comedian Nazareth is they can get a hold of me. They can watch my videos. They can hire me. They know what I do. I can do a weekend services for the church. I do fundraisers. You do all that. And I've been doing it for a long time. So if people are going, well, we're starting a coffee house and we'd love Nazareth, I'll take these calls and give you some up-and-coming comedian to help you out with that. So, but the other thing is the Laughter for All. That's our ministry. And every year we try to do 4 to 7 events where we either have an arena or a theater or something, and we in poor communities, and we like to invite people to come and laugh. But at the end of the event, the fact is 80% of our audience are Christians already. And I empower the believers to go out and share their faith with 7 people. We call it Change California, Change the Nation, because our focus is like, we want to be able to change California instead of leaving and going to Dallas or to Nashville because we don't agree with the morals of the state. No, God called us to be here for a reason. So what we're doing is and for the last, I think, 7 years, we've been encouraging believers to go out and share their faith. So if people want to be part of that, we always look for volunteers to help us at our events. We always look for prayer warriors that can follow up with people. And we're looking for local pastors to help us to win you, because we're not church affiliated. So when someone comes forward in our comedy events, we don't say, oh, you need to go to this church. But if there's a pastor there, we know they care about new believers, so that we'll send them. And also we need donations. You know, it takes a lot of money to put, you know, and having a team that helps you, it costs money. So if you feel in your heart like, oh, I love evangelism in California, people are being reached in California for Jesus through a great way, through comedy, you can always go to laughterforall.org, laughterforall.org, and you can read more about it.
Nazareth is our guest. He is a comedian. You had mentioned that you have a podcast that is on every Tuesday.
Yes, we started that podcast called Laughter for All Podcast back before COVID. And then my goal from it, even though it's called Laughter for All Podcast and named after our ministry, Laughter for All, but it's not about comedy, even though I interviewed probably 50, 60 comedians, but when we interview people, we try to be real, because sometimes, you know, they have those cliche answers, especially Christian artists, you know, and they just give you the answer. But we want to get real. That's why I don't, like you do, I don't have any questions already prepared. So I just try to get real. And a lot of times you get these comedians crying and sharing their life and their pains. And also I interview people like theologians like Lee Strobel and Josh McDowell and different speakers like Bob Goff is coming on the show in a couple of weeks and different pastors of mega churches and medium churches. And then last week I had Miss California on the show. She's a believer. And then I have different, you know, athletes, singers and newsboys. We had Mac Powell from Third Day, used to be with Third Day. So we have different people, but it's a real talk, talking about their real life. We're not talking about the music, and we're not talking about what they're very good at, even though they give you advice, and that's what we look for. Some advice that they know much about, and they share it with us. I had one model who's a Christian who was on New York Times, in New York, what do you call it? In New York, at Times Square, she had two different billboards at the same time. And she was sharing how she was bullied and how she feels she's ugly. And it was just so neat for a 15, 16-year-old Christian girl to hear her and go, wow, she's really? She's that pretty and she's saying that? So maybe what I'm feeling is valid or something like that. Or maybe everybody's insecure. It's not just me. So stuff like this that encourage. And we have thousands of listeners. We're on different places in one place and other different places. We have about 10,000 downloads. So it's really good. I enjoy it because I learn from it. You know, I enjoy the guests because I get to hear their stories and learn from them. So it's really good. So if people want to listen, they can go to NazarethUSA.com/podcast or Laughter for All podcast. And we have hundreds of them. Every Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m., we're going to be on the air and on YouTube, on Facebook under Comedian Nazareth or on LinkedIn or Twitch. And you can get to see it live or a week later, it will be on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. Just put Laughter for All podcast, and you get to enjoy it. It's all over the world right now, praise God. So, and we always have the guests share their testimony and give an encouragement at the end. So,
Nazareth is our guest on Growing on the Vine. What did we miss?
What did we miss? I think you covered a lot of great things. I appreciate that. We miss prayer. I can pray and close this show if you want.
Let's do that.
Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come to you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord. We pray that your love for us would just embrace our heartbeats to produce a melody that brings us peace, Lord. Just reminders. When we just experience your love and remember your faithfulness, Lord, there's so many people hurt and scared right now listening to this. I pray, Lord, that they remember that those fears might not come true. And if you ask the Lord to be in the midst of what you're going through, he will have a different scenario, if it's his will. But if it's his will that you go through it, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance and that your character will be better. So, Lord, I pray for people who are listening that they would pray some more and laugh some more. Because there's so many, right now we have access to so many Christian comics out there that they can make them laugh. Take a few minutes a day and laugh and just remember God's faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you for this station. I pray that you just bless it and just increase the waves so many more people will be touched by it and impacted and blessed by it. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank Comedian Nazareth for joining us on Growing on the Vine. You can listen to all of our past podcast episodes on your favorite podcast platform. We are on all of them. Just search for Growing on the Vine. And you can support this ministry financially by clicking the donate link at 1025thevine.org. God bless. We'll talk to you next time. Remember who you are and remember who you represent. Bye-bye now.